from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Happy Olympic viewing. We've been doing a lot of that lately. Four women's gymnastics certainly made us proud on the replay last night. Simone Biles, what more can you say other than GOAT? She is the best. But it's not just her. It's not just her. It was that entire team that showed up. So congratulations certainly to the women's national gymnastics team, Simone Biles. They get gold. We'll talk some Olympics today, but I know what we're going to talk one thing about. Ain't going to be forgotten about around here. That's Memphis Tigers football.
Yeah.
Because it starts today with practice, the season. So many hopes and dreams tied up in this season. Feels like maybe unfairly. But that is all part of the story, John, as we enter a very important season for Memphis football. Maybe one that's going to reach heights we've never seen.
Hopefully so, although that will be very difficult.
It will be.
That will be incredibly. That will be no small
just
task.
Take care of your business and then see where you're at after that.
Yeah, and even if you do that, it's very possible that it will not reach the heights of that 2019 team. To be clear, with game day and the Cotton Bowl, you know.
Game day don't mean a thing to me.
Wow.
If I'm playing for bigger stakes.
Well. Again, you're going to need some. You're still going to need some help.
I mean, there was a lot of buzz, if that's what you mean. I mean, that was the height, feels like, of the buzz around this.
And you killed SMU in the game.
I mean, you had Kirk Herbstreit saying this is one of the best places we've ever been.
Yeah.
You know, it is going to be tough to top that.
Yeah.
But if we are in the hunt for a college football playoff appearance,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty giddy around here.
Look, that's the hard part, you know, about it, is that even if you do exactly what you say they could do, which is take care of business and go 11-1, they're still going to need Liberty to lose, right? They're still going to need Boise State to lose, too.
I know everybody's talking about Liberty, and there's a good chance. I think the lessons learned last year of what an undefeated Liberty schedule really means, it doesn't mean squat.
Yeah,
They went and got waxed.
Yeah, if you think
and so that
the committee
would be
has,
more reason yeah. not to take them and include, even if they get an undefeated. I'm more worried about Mount West. I'm more worried about the Boise States of the
right.
world.
You need them to lose two games, and you go 11-1.
Right. Liberty could go undefeated. I don't think they're going to make the sort of same mistake they did last year.
Well, I mean, look, I think that's going to be the – again, that we're sort of guessing on that, right? Like, does the committee
– but to your point,
you know,
out of your control.
That's
the point you're making. I agree completely. Yes. You could have a hell of a season, 11-1, like you said, and it's out of your control in terms of making the CFP. Win the AAC. That is the expectation and the goal.
Yes. And then from there, let the chips fall where they may, right?
100%.
And, you know, if they fall, you know, positively, that's great. If they don't, you know, you'll have to sort of, you know, reconcile those feelings for sure. But winning the conference is a great place to start.
Got to.
Anyway, we'll talk about that as fall camp is underway over at the University of Memphis. The Americans play later today against South Sudan.
I left that for you.
In a rematch of that not-so-friendly. Exhibition earlier this month that basically took a defensive stand for the Americans to hold off. So anyway, we'll talk to our friend Raheem Palmer about that. He's a late addition, going to join us at 11:25 from the Ringer. He's locked in to international basketball. We'll get his thoughts on this team, Jason Tatum. We'll also talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies and their drafting of Zach Edey and what he makes of that fit for the Grizzlies and where they fit in the West, right? So we'll talk to Rostradamus at 11:25 from the Ringer. And then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV, a.k.a. Jeffrey's Company last week, is going to join us here in studio. And we'll talk to him, and we'll get his review. We'll get his review of the week with Jeffrey, how it went, what he learned about himself, and what he learned about the business of radio at on a full-time basis. And also, Thaddeus Young. And an omission as egregious as any.
Not according to some.
Not according to some. Not according to some.
That I'm sure Hurd will believe as much.
But anyway, that is the
Maybe
show.
Maybe he's in the top five, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So Hurd could be holding out hope.
I want y'all to continue to hold out and and stay tuned.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Yeah. I believe the top was top five tomorrow.
Top five would be. I mean, you should know it feels, but yes, it would be tomorrow.
Yeah. Top five.
You voted in this thing.
I did. We're now talking about. We have a separate sort of Google document where we're all going back and forth about our votes. So the truth is coming to the light, right? The truth. Some of y'all.
So it's not just conversation that you've created among the consumers of your list. It's created a conversation among the guys who put the list together.
Correct. Because there does need to be accountability, not just for not having Thaddeus Young, but others as well.
The Riley conversation I heard this morning, that was one of the big ones I was thinking.
I had Austin Riley. I had him very high.
He is a star, was a star here.
Yes.
You know?
It's. I mean,
now,
again.
Austin's top 10.
Oh, yeah. He's top 10.
Is he?
Yes.
He's Austin's top 10.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the list. I'm sorry, I don't subscribe, so I didn't see it.
He's totally in the list. Yeah, he's he should be in the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the truth. Oh,
that's good.
So
yeah, they got that one then.
Yeah, there's no controversy there.
But Thad
unless
is not in the list at all.
Correct.
Unless he's in the top five.
Unless he's in the top five. Which
is he going to be in the top five?
He could be. He was not on my ballot, so I will have to see for the rest.
I'm going
to
guess no.
Yeah.
Because we still got Marks and D Roses to get to, don't we?
Zeebos
of the world.
Again,
there's three right
maybe
there.
Maybe Zeebo wasn't on the list. You just don't know.
Ain't
maybe.
No way. Zeebo, he paid MLGW bills.
Wait, was that true? I thought he handed out. I think that was a myth, wasn't it?
Was it?
I thought he handed out the turkeys. I thought that was the big, like.
No, I think he did.
I'm pretty sure he paid MLGW bills.
Or somebody paid it for him.
Okay, because there was one time there was a rumor that he was doing it, and he actually wasn't doing it. Like, so everybody lined up at MLGW. And it ended up being a false rumor.
When they do those promotions, do they actually pay, like, in other words, Taylor Jenkins is providing 5,000 tickets for? Do they really pay?
Yeah,
pay?
I think Taylor Jenkins paid for those.
Like,
well, maybe the team paid for him for Taylor.
But is it positioning like John Martin bought 2,000 tickets, or is it
well,
like
sure,
you legit,
yeah.
legit
no, I mean,
had
you,
to pay
it's
the money?
Your money, yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
Oh, that's impressive.
But yeah, no. In 2017, MLGW did release a statement. I think they got your ass. MLGW and the Memphis Grizzlies. Organization are both unaware of $1 million that Zeebo is rumored to be paying toward any customers.
That 17 could not have been the only time.
If you Google Zeebo MLGW bills, that's what comes up. Maybe he did it once, but he definitely did not do it again. They held a press conference about this. That's pretty.
I don't remember the press conference at all.
Yeah.
But I do remember the story about Zeebo paying for MLGW bills.
Yeah. Customers who have gone to an MLGW kiosk or any other payment kiosk since Friday to pay their bills do need to call MLGW. That's what they said.
Y'all keeping Zach off the list?
I think because of it, because he didn't pay the $1 million towards the utility bills, he can't go on the list.
You should have left that part of Zach's legacy alone.
It really wasn't even his fault, right? Somebody just started that rumor and it took off because it's his generosity.
I don't remember.
That's that Mandela effect. I think he did something, though. He did, like, some community thing.
He did a ton. We said that he was more community involved than other players.
Yeah.
We held him up above others.
Exactly.
But so all that's fake.
We'll turn out for the paid MLGW bills, though, won't we?
And believe it.
It doesn't take much. But it was believable. That's the thing. That's the lesson here. That's all coming a little bit later this week. But fall camp underway for the University of Memphis. football program, which is, you know, the most anticipated probably ever, just in terms of the possibilities. First time ever picked in the AAC to win your league. And with all that in mind, I thought it would be a good time, and I've written this up at the Daily Memphian, and I thought it would be a good time to give what I do best, predictions that are absolute locks, will happen, never been wrong about a prediction in my entire life. And I want to run these by you, and I want to see if you agree with them.
Okay.
All right, so let's go down. These aren't necessarily in order, right? These are just things I think, five predictions that I think. The defense will not only be better, it will be much better next season. New DC with Jordan Hankins. Not that I think that his the Liberty Bowl was like, oh my gosh, a new day. And they still gave up like 455 yards, right? It wasn't like it was completely
Yeah, but like
different.
Zero on the ground.
But yeah, it was certainly different, right? And it held Iowa State only to 26 points. And he's 1-0. But I also think the players are just better. You bring in the leading tackler for Tennessee a year ago. You bring in Kobe Miner, the Indiana transfer, who was all Big Ten, honorable mention. Mm-hmm. You know, look, sometimes Power 5 guys transfer down and it doesn't work out. But it worked out with Simeon Blair a year ago. I think it's going to work out with these guys. Familiarity in the system. I think they were 95th in scoring defense a year ago. That's going to go up, right? That's going to go up. They're going to get better defensively. I don't know if they're going to be top 50 defense, but they can't be worse. So I think they're going to be visibly better defensively. Would you agree with that?
Because you could barely be worse last year with
right.
Efficiency, the number you use, scoring defense. I mean, efficiency, they were in the hundreds, and so it can't be much worse. I'd like to see it get much better, but my hope is that you can just get to average, because I think just like last year, I've said this, Ryan Silverfield, going into the year, the big mission was to get the offense explosive again, and you would hope the guys that you had brought in would help you do that. It happens. Now the mission should be get this defense back to a respectable level. Again, you've brought in pieces now with stocked in a way you haven't been with NIL and everything that's allowed you to do this. You mentioned Elijah Herring. You've got a bunch of great additions, including him. And so whether it's that, whether it's Chandler Martin being back and healthy, the guy that was all AAC first team last year is a linebacker. That's quite the duo there, you know, in the middle of your defense. They're going to be better. Frankly, it's the charge of Ryan Silverfield. That's how you win the AAC.
Yeah,
you've had the offense, but you've got to be respectable on defense. They should be. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
All right, so we're one and one. We're 1-for-1 here on agreements. Memphis will cover the spread against Florida State. Now, we don't know what that spread is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm using what they call Sagarin ratings. And Sagarin ratings are basically whatever the number, you take the rating of the better team, and then you take the rating of the worst team, and you subtract that, and then you add 3 for the home team, and that's going to get you to the spread. So last year, Florida State would have been a 16-point favorite over Memphis in Tallahassee, based on Sagarin ratings. That's last year. Very different Florida State team this year. Let's play with some numbers. I think you can adjust Florida State down 2 points going from Jordan Travis to DJU. DJU is not the passer that Jordan Travis was, right? Plus, they lost some NFL guys. So I'm going to adjust Florida State down by 2 points, and I'm going to adjust Memphis up 1 point for returning basically everybody and adding some better defenders. Do you have any problem with those numbers?
Nah.
You think I should not adjust Florida State down?
No, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'll defer to you on the what the line's going to be.
So basically,
I'll defer to your math.
So basically, I've got, if we're using Sagarin ratings, which is the only way to really sort of judge something like this.
Sure.
Florida State probably going to be favored by 13 or 13 and a half in Tallahassee this season. Let's revisit this in September and see how close I am. But I think Memphis covers that. I think Memphis covers that. We saw what they can do against, a potent offense. And by the way, don't forget, I mean, this is one of the great favors in the history of Memphis football, $1.3 million to go down there and take a shot, right? Like, that's pretty damn remarkable. I think it's kind of crazy on Mike Norvell's part. But we also know he's not going to run up the score. That's another thing. So say you're down 20, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, because he's not running the score up and he's running the ball. Like, you could backdoor this all day long with Seth Hennigan in that offense. So give me Memphis 13 and a half.
SP Plus got just a post-spring
practice SP Plus prediction and ranking going on the season. We talked a lot about it because of where they got Memphis's offense when this came out. But they've got Florida State still a top 20 offense and a top 10 defense. It's just, I think the point that you make about Mike Norvell not running it up is important here. But I think they're going to have the game. You know, while I do expect Memphis's defense to be better,
yeah,
I could see them going down there and getting laid out.
Yeah, it's possible.
You know, it's just a different level of athlete that Mike Norvell is recruiting to Florida State now. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, oh, ACC is just so much better. There are two teams atop the ACC, certainly in Clemson, Florida State, that have done that. But it's what Mike Norvell's built. I mean, he's got depth there now. That's what we saw last year. Is like they've got depth behind their main guys now, and that's the difference. That's why he's got the program where it is now. And so I'm just going to go that this is a hard route to go here, to go down to Tallahassee. Obviously, again, against a man you really respect and hope doesn't run it up on you. I still think it's going to be a tough road to hoe. I'd just go Florida State to cover just because they're supposed to. They're supposed to, and your season could still be just fine.
That's true.
Even with a double-digit loss to Florida State.
No, it doesn't.
Now, what do we think that line's going to be?
13 okay. to 13.5.
Marked and numbered.
If it's more than that. Then
again, he's got them top 15, top 20 on both sides of the ball. I mean, yeah. This year. Again, that's a prediction.
Right.
But that's pretty darn good.
I actually think that DJ Uiagalelei might not be a great fit for Norvell's scheme.
Maybe. I mean, he is an experienced college quarterback.
He is, but I think
you're not going to throw much at him that he hadn't seen before.
At Oregon State, it was a power run offense, right? And that was definitely suited to him because not only did it allow him to, use his mobility, but it definitely kept the defense far more honest. Now, I'm not saying that Florida State can't run the ball, right? But I'm just saying that if you're expecting DJ to drop back and just be that guy, he's not Jordan Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jordan Travis was drafted.
Right.
You know, like, he was a Heisman candidate.
Right, but you gave up more to worse quarterbacks last year. I realize different defensive coordinator.
Right.
But some of
DJ is absolutely licking his lips thinking about playing, you know, Memphis
based
football.
On what he saw last year and based on where you're
100%,
coming in.
100%.
This SP Plus for going into the season has gotten Memphis' offense ninth. That's fantastic.
Right.
But their defense at 102. If that's a top 20 Florida State offense,
right?
Again, does that 102 takes into account what you've done, transfer portal, and everything else? But it doesn't know like how it. Elijah Herring and Chandler Martin are going to look lined up, and how much better it should be. But my point is that's a low ranked defense against a top 20 offense, and that's what Memphis has got to prove.
No question
that you can be on a field with Florida State. And so until I see it, I'm just going to go, this is a tough task for Memphis.
Yes.
But I'm with you. You point out a lot of good reasons why they certainly could end up covering Memphis, including that Norvell one.
Yes.
He don't want to embarrass you.
So we're one for two. You agree with one, you disagree with the other.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
All right, here we go. Number three, Seth Hennigan will break the single-season passing record at the University of Memphis.
We talked about that yesterday.
He's already the all-time passing leader, simply just because it's just kind of funny how it breaks down, right? Riley was only here for two seasons. Paxson was only good for two seasons. So it's just Seth has been consistently really good every year he's been here. But Riley Ferguson threw for 4,257 yards in 2017. That's the record.
Yep.
But I think this is the year where that will fall as well. If you look at Hennigan's career and his trajectory, every single season, his passing yards, his completion percentage, and his passing attempts, they've all gone up every single year since he's been at Memphis. Now, some of that is natural going from freshman to sophomore, but point is, I don't think that's going backwards. Right, I don't think the passing attempts are going to go down. I don't think the passing attempts are going to remain stat. I think they're going to increase because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Right, and you're going to live and die through him. So I think as a result of that, Seth's going to have a chance to get to 4,500 yards. It's not going to be easy, but it's against the damn AAC. Right, the majority of this is against the AAC. And, I mean, Riley did that against, I think, a much tougher schedule. I mean, I think they had Ole Miss on the schedule that year, and the AAC was just better generally, right, with Houston, UCF, Cincinnati, et cetera. So I think there's really – I mean, Seth should break it, if we're being honest. He was at 38 last year. He should be
39, basically, 38, 83. So it's basically 39.
I mean, don't you think he should break it?
He's going to go over 4,000 for sure. I mean, yes, he's got a great chance. This could be the best offense we've seen around here in a while. I mean, since Norvell, obviously, with how explosive it could be. So, and that's the thing. He's already got a rapport with these receivers, with Rock, with Demir. And so You know, you're not trying to figure anything out on the fly like you were at times, even last year. You know, Kobe Drake's first year last year, you find out how dependable he is in the red zone, those kinds of things. He already knows that now going in, you've got him back. So, Sutton Smith and the weapon that he is, both out of the backfield and catching the ball and running the ball. So, I don't know, this feels a little bit like a cheerleader pick here because 42-57 is impressive. You throw 4,500 out there like it's no problem for him to go get. That's still, you know, 600 yards more than what he's thrown for. He would have to, you know, go way up. But I'll go yes here because, John, I think this offense is going to be that good. We just told you SP Plus has got it number 9 in the country. Exactly. And the AAC is going to be bad. So, John's right. Exactly. He's going to put up some big days in the AAC. But it could be so big that he's sitting in some
fourth
quarters.
That's true. I mean, that's going
to,
you know.
He could be so big that he's sitting.
But don't you think Silverfield will keep him in to break the record?
Maybe. Maybe.
If it's like the last game of the season or something. Then,
yeah,
like
maybe.
I'm pretty sure, like, you know, there was an element of that against SMU and Paxton's last home game. Like, I think he threw for like 7 touchdowns or something stupid like that. You know,
but
like,
you're not going to do that early in the season, right? If that game's out of hand, you're going to end up benching him and seeing, frankly, because here's some of the storyline. We don't know who the backup is behind him. And if there's an opportunity, Ryan may try to decide, you know what, for the rest of this season, I need to figure out who this backup is. Maybe you throw him in. That could hurt our cause.
That's true.
Especially early on. Yeah, when he gets close to a record, you're not pulling him. All that said, I'm going to go with you here that he breaks. It's 42-57. You don't have to throw for 4,500 yards to break that. You throw for 4,300 in this offense, you're right there. So
yeah.
I'll go with you.
All right, a couple more here.
He's going to break it.
It's not going to be a pleasant adjustment with the Simmons Bank renovations. It's already kind of hard. There are kinks to work out every season. Like sometimes, like, you don't have water bottles to start the season. You know, sometimes, like, you always going to have something. But I do think it's going to be a pretty tough adjustment going from 58,000 seats to, you know, 32,000 or 30, whatever it is. It's going to take a couple of weeks to adjust to that.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I do.
I mean, when was the last time we put 58 in there? You know?
Oh, I mean, it's, I think it's more about just like the logistics of like the
parking and all is what you're bringing into
stadium,
it and
the
getting
like
up in there.
The
and
whole
all
thing,
that.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope not. I think you're now weirdly going to be at a level where most of college football is at, and this is what you're charged with filling up as a sort of 30,000 to 35,000 as opposed to a 58,000, 60,000 seat stadium. And that's going to be a good thing for Memphis because the atmosphere is going to be better. Now, maybe there's holes in the damn thing and all that and tarps over everything, but in terms of actual butts in available seats, it should feel fuller and it should lead to a better experience.
Right.
I would think. I could see a way where this ends up being a good thing for you because it makes you look more full. It's a better atmosphere for the players. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that 30 is going to be louder than the 58 would have been. But I don't think Memphis has clearly put a ton of planning into trying to pull this off as it goes along with renovations over the next couple of years. And so I'm just hoping things are pretty smooth.
Yeah, I hope they are. I don't think they will be.
It will be an adjustment. We're either talking pleasant or unpleasant here. And I mean, all adjustments are unpleasant in some form.
That's true. We hate change.
Hopefully it goes smoothly.
But it's worth it. It's worth the trouble.
Exactly. You know, are you going to stop playing and go over to Crump for a couple of seasons? No. We're going to be all right.
That would be fun.
No.
The storied Crump Stadium, bro? I mean, I think it's, you know, you're really embracing your history when you go over there, man.
Nah. Ours now. We play in our stadium, and it's Sim. It's the Sim.
They got Crump Stadium in College Football 25. You didn't know that?
Nope.
Yeah,
they have had big college football games in there.
Have they really?
Yeah, back in the day.
Okay.
They play, the big ones they play now.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, though. I mean, you might MLGW Zach was wrong. No, I want to tell you, Ole Miss played there back in the day. Back in the day.
Look, some people.
But that's when they had the columns. It's been renovated now. They have bleachers now. That, you know, Crump used to be the thing.
Some people claim that there was an MLGW payment from Zach, but you can't find it.
I'm pretty sure that he either went back or I don't know. That's weird that we found one story that said he did not do that.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out.
Because I don't remember that at all.
Last one, and it is the cheerleader pick. Memphis finishes the story like Cody Rhodes and wins the AAC.
Well, if they don't, I'm going to be back to doubting Ryan Silverfield. You know, and it won't just be me. And there are some that want to be that guy. I told you so. I was right on Ryan Silverfield. I don't want to be that guy. I want it to go well.
Absolutely.
Ryan Silverfield's been paid. He's a good guy. He's got this thing in a position to take off. But if he fails and doesn't win the AAC in this year, again, in a year where you have no more excuses, you can't look around anymore, look at the guys that are getting paid more in terms of NIL, it's you now, bro. And so I don't think he's ducked expectations at all. this is it for him. And so, yeah, he better. They better win the AAC.
Yeah, I think they will.
And they will. They will. Dude, it's come on.
Yeah, come on. It's like, if it doesn't happen now, it's just never going to happen. It's just never going to happen.
I'm just saying, it's tricky, though, with those three games on the road. You got to go get all of them.
But, you know, to win conference championships, you got to win on the road. You got to do it. You know?
Now, if you lose one of those three, you may still win the American.
But that, you'll be out of the race.
But you'll be out of the CFP.
Correct.
Yes, assuming that you've lost four.
I'm starting.
That will be done.
Exactly.
And that'll be a disappointment. But again, I will stand up and say, well, the goal this year was to win the AAC.
Exactly.
And so it's still a box checked, even though it's not, you know, as exciting as it could have been.
Agree completely with that assessment.
That said, you need to win them three road games.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, right? The way it's got to be is, like you said, take care of business, let the chips fall where they may.
A lot's going to be out of your control. We understand that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk to Raheem Palmer. We'll get his thoughts on Olympic basketball, some NFL, some college football, and more from The Ringer. Stick around. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN.
Best place to bet the games this summer is on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, you new customers, you can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Just use it on Team USA basketball. Why not at this point? They've got KD back. They look pretty good. You can bet on all your favorite international teams. Maybe you like Germany. And all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton, soccer to swimming, FanDuel has it all for you. Don't miss your chance, again, to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith to sign up. Start betting the games today. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JaySmith. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of 929FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
1-800-889-9789.
just like the best receivers.
Raheem Palmer.
Are singing like Justin Bieber. The most effective leaders have
closed mouths. You can find his work at The Ringer. Does a great job there on the podcast tip. Rostradamus. I had to get there, right? I had to get there with the pronunciation, but I finally did it, bro. And he's nice enough to join us now. I'm sweating Serbia, Puerto Rico, man. The Puerto Ricans are trying their little hearts out, man. But I do have Serbia minus 17.5, so I'm hoping that the old Serbs can bring it home. Let me start here, though. The Americans play a little later today against the South Sudanese. Are they our toughest competition in the world?
No, they aren't. I just think they slept on them the first time. But also, I mean, you got to give some credit to South Sudan because I don't think anyone knows what to do with this team. Like, I mean, they were like, I think they opened it like almost a pick 'em. They closed at -2.5 against Puerto Rico, and then they pretty much blew them out the entire second half. And they were 43-point underdog to the United States and almost beat them outright. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do today.
Yeah. What do you in a rematch like this, right? Like where I know that you know we'll say that the market was so off, and maybe it was, but. In a rematch like this from, you know, 2 weeks ago where the United States did not have a clear and obvious super critical piece in Kevin Durant, like, is this one where you just don't bet because you're not sure of the difference? And also, like, the motivation for South Sudan is much more obvious than the United States? Like, how do you sort of attack a market like this?
This is tough for me. I think there's going to be some sharps who say, you know what, this line was 43 before, and now you're looking at, what, 23 now, and now you have Kevin Durant.
Right.
Like this United States team, they have more time to gel and play together. They should be able to cover this number. So I think you're going to have sharps to look at it like that. Me personally, I'm going to, you know, stay away from this. I don't know how to approach this United States team, just because it does feel like in some ways that the world has caught up with them. So maybe this line is a little bit, it's either too high or it's too low. And I just can't figure it out.
That's like deep thoughts. I like it, man. No, it's interesting as we're trying to, you know, I honestly think Serbia might be the second best team in the world. And the United States beat him by 26. I'm watching them just pummel, you know, Puerto Rico, who I know is obviously not in the same weight class. But, like, that's the thing about it is that it feels like Serbia probably is second best, and that's the gap. Now, you know, was that just pent-up frustration from KD and just a ridiculous start? Who knows? But if you were sort of handicapping, who would you say is second best in the world right now?
I'd probably say Germany.
Germany?
Yeah, I'm really high on Germany. I think they're very strong. I mean, obviously, they're the team who won the FIBA World Cup last year. I just think between Dennis Schroeder and I think you got Franz Wagner, I just think they're a strong team. So I'm high on them. I also think Australia's being slept on. I think Australia's really good. It's probably out of Germany and Canada. I think the problem with Canada is they just don't have a big. They don't have you got Dwight Powell, but they don't just, Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid and Bam should be able to eat that alive. So it'd probably be out of Germany and Canada to be.
I'm just curious, Ryan, how much attention are you paying to the Tatum story? And are you just rolling your eyes at it? Or is this a deal where you've got some criticisms of Kerr?
I do have some criticisms of Kerr. I'm going to be honest with you. I think you've got for a player of Tatum's stature, and he's the next guy in terms of American basketball. Like, you got to look at the fact that, you know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, they're all getting old. If you could find minutes for Derek White, you got to be able to find some minutes for Jason Tatum. I'm sorry. And, you know, I know I've had the Jason Tatum, Brock Purdy comparisons, call him NBA Brock Purdy because he plays on a stacked roster. But, he's still one of the best players in the league. But I think it's going to tell us a lot about the Boston Celtics coming up to this year because you look at Jaylen Brown. He didn't get selected for the team. Jason Tatum, he's being disrespected and not getting any minutes. If they're what they say they are, they need to take this personally.
Interesting. Yeah, it could. It could. Who knows? Who knows exactly how it? So is. I just wanted to sort of get to the origin of the comparison here. So, you think it's just like Brock Purdy's just getting a free ride? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I wouldn't say he's getting a free ride, but I think he doesn't have to. When you look at Jason Tatum, and Embiid said this, you know, in one of his interviews, if Embiid goes out there and goes 5-for-20, like, the Sixers are going to get blown out. Whereas, like, Jason Tatum, he has the luxury to not be able to play well. Well, I'll say not shoot well, and his team still can win a game. And I think it's the same thing with Brock Purdy, because he has a solid defense. He has, you know, an incredible running game. And the way Shanahan's offense is set up is that he just can make basic plays, and, you know, things are wide open. You look at Deebo Samuel. He gets a lot of yards after the catch. So I think it's the same thing with Jason Tatum. They just – their teammates are so good that they don't have to be – like, Brock Purdy doesn't have to be Mahomes.
Let's talk 2028. Obviously, it will look very different. There will be no Steph Curry. There will be no Kevin Durant. There will be no LeBron James, we assume. So who if you were running the Olympic basketball committee here for the United States, who would be some additions in 2028 of guys that maybe aren't on it today but you think should be?
You definitely got to have Jaylen Brown. He's probably, you know, one of the next up-and-coming wings, so you got to have a guy like him. I think we're going to be looking towards, you know, the next generation. I mean, you're talking 2028. They said Cooper Flagg. Absolutely. I mean, he torched Team USA.
Sure did.
So
yep.
I expect him to be on the team. And then, you know, you're just really looking towards the next generation. We still don't even know some of the guys who are up and coming, but I think Cooper Flagg is definitely going to be on that list.
What about Joski? What about Twelvski?
Oh yeah, you're talking about Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. To me, Ja Morant is a top 10 player in this league. He's about as talented as it comes. And if he could just, you know, put all the distractions to the side, he's a bona fide star. And you saw it when he came back from, you know, the suspension this year. It looked like the Grizzlies could chase a playoff spot. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt. But I think next year the Grizzlies are going to tear the league up.
I want to go back real quick to what you were mentioning about the Celtics and sort of where they are now and what happens next. I'm just curious now. We've had the movement now with the Knicks and the moves they've made to go get Bridges, and we've seen, too, the 76ers obviously add Paul George. I'm just curious, Raheem, how are you handicapping now sort of the top of the East after the moves we've seen from Philly and from New York?
Well, I think the Celtics are the clear-cut still best team in the Eastern Conference. I think the problem with the Celtics is that obviously, we got three guys playing in the Olympics for the Celtics. They just won a championship. They had like a dream season. Porzingis is going to be banged up. I don't know if you could play them to go over 58 games. I think they're a team that's probably not going to take the regular season as seriously. Yeah. So maybe you probably should be looking under there. But I think the Knicks, I mean, when you have Thibs, he's always going to push that team.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think that number is priced very properly. When it comes to the Sixers, I'm not as high on the Sixers as most people.
Okay.
I think the Philadelphia 76ers, I think the biggest thing is that they don't have a lot of playmaking. And, look, I love the addition of Paul George, but I think it just kept them in the contender range, where if they didn't get Paul George, they probably would have dropped down with everybody else in the East. But I think they don't have a lot of playmaking. Like Tyrese Maxey, he's a good scorer, but he's not a playmaker. Like, you look at their best playmaker might be almost a 40-year-old Kyle Lowry. And I think that's saying a lot. And then, you know, Paul George is getting up there in age. Him and Embiid are likely to take turns missing games. So I think they're going to be a solid team, but I still don't trust this team as far as like winning a championship.
You kind of gave away, you know, your hand there. We're talking to Raheem Palmer from The Ringer, friend of the show, one of the best, one of my guys out here in the sharp betting spaces. You love the Grizzlies next year. And I know our audience won't know this name, but you certainly will. Eddie Walls, too, loves the Memphis Grizzlies next season. He, in fact, said that he thinks Taylor Jenkins is one of the best coaches in the NBA, and that he thinks the Grizzlies are a great future bet, regular season wins, and Western Conference. Are you there with him?
I am there with him. Now, unfortunately, this line is up to like 47.5. I'm not too happy about that. But I agree with him 100%. I think that's one of my favorite futures bets on the board. If I had to give out some other ones, I like the Cleveland Cavaliers over 47.5 wins. I also like the Washington Wizards under 22.5. I think there's going to be a lot of teams trying to capture the flag, so to speak. And I think they're going to be one of the teams that's going to be tanking. I like Oklahoma City over 55 wins. I like Detroit Pistons over 24.5. And I like the Raptors. They're another capture the flag team under 31.5 wins.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, Ryan, Zach Edey, the NBA player, and it obviously looks like right now he's penciled in as the starter with not much behind him in terms of playing next to Jaren. Just curious what you sort of see playing out with Zach Edey and his ability to hold up, you know, obviously playing a much faster game in the NBA, but the player that he will be in the NBA. What do you think?
I was really impressed with him in the few games that he played in Summer League. I think his ability to, you know, he's going to be able to set some screens. He's going to be a guy who he's going to be able to rebound. Like, you know, there was a play in Summer League where I think, you know, they were down three and, you know, obviously they went for that intentional miss, and him being so tall, he was able to get the rebound and tie it and send it into overtime.
Yep.
So I just like what he adds. I think the playmaking that Ja Morant has, he's going to be a lob threat. He's going to be a post threat. I think it was a great move. And I know you guys wanted to actually trade up for Klingon, but I think Edie's going to be solid. And I kind of hated it on him first in college. I thought he was going to be a little bit too slow. But, I mean, watching him in summer league, I feel like he'll be fine.
Nah, man. We were always going to take Zach Edey. That was just a smoke screen.
See, John don't want to believe the truth that you just told him, Raheem. He don't want to believe the truth. Woj and Fisher and others.
Man, Fisher wrong as hell.
But he tell this fool the Grizzlies were trying to get Klingon so he understands it once and for all, bro.
I thought for sure. I mean,
They were. Yes, man.
And Woj, I thought for sure you guys would get Klingon.
They were trying their tails off, but obviously couldn't get up to, I guess it was six.
I guess the Hornets just had to draft this bum from France.
Yeah.
I mean.
Saloon.
Yeah, that man sucks, bro. He's awful. I mean, they could have got him at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You know, so they fumbled the bag, if that's the case, right? I mean,
they definitely did.
I mean, they could have.
Nobody was talking about him that high. I know that. Saloon.
I mean, I know the Grizzlies don't have much to offer, bro, but, I mean, anything.
Well, they had first rounders.
Yeah, if you could have got a first rounder out of that. All right, I want to talk a little NFL with you because you are the rare native Philadelphian who roots for the Cowboys, which is that species is going extinct. There's no question about it. You must be sick. You must have a sinking feeling in your stomach about this season, Raheem.
So, I'm going to be honest with you. That playoff game broke me. It just broke me. Like, it's just like you have certain games to where the manner in which they lost. I mean, because they dominated last year. This is a team that was 8-0 at home and just were blowing everybody out. And then you get to the postseason and you have a real chance of making it to the conference finals. And you just completely you never were in that game. So coming into this season, I'm already over the Dak era. And then you see the moves that they made. You see the fact that the offensive line is a mess right now. They're starting a first-round rookie in Tyler Guyton. You lose Tyron Smith to the Jets. It's just you lost so much. Tony Pollard. We're starting Ezekiel Elliott. So.
And it's not 2016.
And then you lose some pieces on defense. Stephon Gilmore. I just don't think this team is going to be very good this year. You know, they have been regular season juggernauts, but it wouldn't surprise me if this team misses the postseason. So I kind of just want this Dak era to be over. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league in the regular season, but he's kind of like, you know, the DeMar DeRozan era Raptors. At this point in time. So I understand why Jerry Jones isn't paying him, but it's just it's tough. I just want this to be over.
So what is the post-Dak plan, Raheem?
Cooper Rush.
Don't tell me what Trey Lance. Please don't. Are you for the,
I mean, that's what
you ready
like,
for Trey Lance, bro?
He really is broken.
I'm not ready for Trey Lance, but I'm kind of at a point where I'm so
you've seen
I know
it.
What Dak is.
I get it.
But it's all relative, bro, because you know you're used to getting into the postseason and hitting your head, right? That's with Dak. Like people are associating him with the Raiders, for example, who I love. Like I would crawl over broken glass to have Dak as my quarterback.
And pay him $60+ million.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Raiders, I understand it.
Right.
But, I mean, when you're the Cowboys, I think I've accepted that this Cowboys team is not going to win a Super Bowl with Dak. And, you know, maybe some of it is the coaching. You know, you look at the coaches that Dak has had, Mike McCarthy. Like, it's just, we just aren't going to win with it. So I'm kind of accepting that I would rather them just kind of just blow this thing up.
Well, I think you're right that the Cowboys aren't going to win a Super Bowl, but I think the blame being assigned is misplaced. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones still living. That's what you really mean. Yeah. Jerry Jones, he's a horrible owner. He's terrible.
I mean, you beat Green Bay last year. They should have, as Raheem says, you should have been in the NFC title game last year.
Yeah, y'all are paying Trayvon Diggs $20
million. I can't blame that game on Jerry Jones.
Exactly.
You can't blame that game on
Dak
Jerry.
Was
but
out there, and he just, I mean, before you know it, the Cowboys are down 21-0.
Right.
But here's what you can blame on Jerry Jones. The fact that he has not been able to hire a good coach since Jimmy Johnson. The fact that he's paying Trayvon Diggs $20 million a year to be a DB that actually gets targeted, right? One of the worst contracts in the league as far as I'm concerned. And you can blame Jerry Jones for, you know, playing chicken every single year with his best players contractually, not setting the market with these players. And so now that CD has to sit out, Zach Martin has to sit out. And then you start behind the eight ball because these guys are disgruntled and they don't want to be there, and it just messes up the end. I mean, the win total got adjusted down from 10.5 to 9.5 in the last week. I mean, you don't see that.
Yeah, you don't see that at all.
And it's all because of vibes, bro. It's like Kamala Harris. It's all vibes, bro. That's what it's all about right now. She's damn near the favorite. She's damn near the favorite to be the president.
Pushing.
You know, she got catchphrases and things like that, bro. Bookmaker got her as a favorite. It's unbelievable. Raheem, man, you're the best. Appreciate the time,
thank you,
as
brother.
Always.
No doubt. No, thanks for having me. I think I'm going to play. I mean, I already, like, for the Olympics tomorrow.
Okay.
Friday. You guys know I'm high on Germany. I gave out Germany to win Group B. But if you didn't already take them to win Group B, I think you take them to beat France. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I'm disgusted by how that played out. I really am. I mean, because France, like minus 200, 220-ish to win the group, and now you're trying to tell me that Germany's installed as the favorite? I mean, what a joke. What a joke that was. You know, they were clearly wrong, and I guess they're just atoning for it, but also like Spain plus 9.5 against Canada.
Interesting.
Because I'm going to tell you why. They were 6.5 in the World Cup last year, and Spain was up, I don't know, 12 going into the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing by 3, but they were up 12 going into the fourth quarter with basically the same teams. No Jamal Murray, but he's been bad. So all you bring in is Jamal Murray. Spain's the same team, and I'm getting 9.5 now. I'm going to take the points every time.
I kind of like that. Spain can shoot.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, if you, like, I mean, Adama, I mean, that guy's been lighting it up. Sergio, I mean, like, I'm going over his threes in the last game. I think he's over his threes, like 1.5. If it's 1.5 again, you got to automatically play that over. I think he's got 15 threes in game one.
That dude throws up Hail Marys, bro. That Sergio Ayul is his name. If you haven't watched him, he's like this. He looks like he's 45 years old, and he's just throwing up bombs, bro. And he's making them. It's unbelievable.
He's like another Splash Brother. He is.
That's exactly. He's like Juan Carlos Navarro, man. If anybody remembers La Bamba, he's like him today. Anyway, thanks, Raheem. Appreciate you, bro.
No doubt. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. He is Raheem Palmer from The Ringer, Rostradamus. There you go. Good stuff from him. He says he's been broken by the Cowboys because of the playoff game.
Yeah, it was sad to hear, but I get it. I
mean, you can't be so broken to want Trey Lance, bro. He's terrible.
It's rare. Most Cowboy fans have sort of fixed themselves by this point, though, and talked themselves back into we're going to the Super Bowl, you know, by this stage, by preseason. So it's weird to hear one still down about the way things ended last year. Most have talked themselves back into it.
Yes. One of my favorites. Love having Raheem on the show. He's on Twitter at I am Rostradamus, Rahstradamus. So there you go. We'll come back. Serbia, by the way, is just, this is definitely revenge for what happened against the United States. It is crazy how Serbia can look completely lost against the United States, and yet they are killing Puerto Rico. You know, I mean, they were a big favorite, but France was a big favorite over Japan, and that is not what happened, right? But I do agree. I think Serbia and Germany probably have a – that'd be a hell of a game.
duking it out for second in the world. Germany definitely should. It does not get the respect it deserves on a national scale because they were like eighth or ninth before this all started to win the gold. Like they should not have been eighth or ninth ever because of the talent that they have in the system. But anyway, that's it's about to start getting real, man. It's about to start getting real in international in the Olympics basketball front. I will tell you this. You know, we talked about how I'm not really watching much of the Olympics. That rugby moment yesterday was the best about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
About the United States
it's
women
as dramatic as it gets.
Meddling in women's rugby sevens for the first time ever, I think, or at least since 1924. And it was basically like, again, I don't know the rules of rugby. It looked like the play started with someone was injured. Like there was
that's what I'm trying to tell you. They're all down there, and you think action should stop. It does not. That ball pops out. That thing's still going.
Oh, so she must have gotten tackled, was on the ground,
right.
Gave the ball to her teammate.
And who then?
And then she tossed it back.
Made the dish, the lateral, right?
And it was like beast mode. It was like that Marshawn Lynch beast mode.
That's a good comparison.
And the only thing she didn't do was she didn't do the whole, she didn't do that all over the goal line. But she should have done that. But then here's what's crazy. I'm reading the story from ESPN. Mm-hmm. So it was 12-7. Touchdowns are apparently only worth 5 in rugby. So it was 12-7, 8 seconds left. She just trucks everybody on the way to the end zone. And then she has to make a kick to win the game. But this particular player had practiced 2 kicks pregame and shanked both.
Well, I didn't know that part
of the story. She missed both kicks pregame that she practiced. And so it was definitely not an automatic that she was going to make this kick, but she steps up and she just drains it. It was not even a question.
And we went by 2?
Went by 1, right?
Went by 1?
13-12.
Okay, is that what it was?
I think so. I think that's what a conversion is worth. I don't know. But I think that was the final. It was 12-12. I think 13-12. I could be wrong totally. It was. And the other part that was awesome too, I don't know who it was, but there was clearly a former United States rugby player on the broadcast. I don't know her name, but she was clearly, a former. And she was like crying. You could hear her crying during the run. She was like choking up. Because obviously women have never meddled for the United States. So that was, you can't watch that and listen to that and not get chills.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best part about the Olympics.
I didn't get to hear the call.
We should play it when we get back.
A rundown.
I know the Olympics are pretty anal, though, about the about the audio.
Sure. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So
ESPN was talking about that this morning.
Yeah. So can they not play highlights?
They're limited in what they can do, and it was actually about this play, and maybe that's why he couldn't
watch the conference call.
And I think Greeny was talking about maybe why they couldn't do the audio is why, because they were limited in what they could show.
Yeah, and I haven't.
So Greeny mentioned it this morning.
They couldn't show the play.
They showed the play, but they were limited. I think it was about. He said to the degree that we can tell you how great this was because of.
I think people are familiar with that play. It was on prime time
last night,
too.
I'm assuming he was referring to the call that they could not play.
Right.
And how it would have sounded based on what you've told me about the call.
No, because I think is exactly right, and I'm glad you said that, because I remember there was a conference call.
Yeah, we probably just would have run out
and played. There was a Zoom on that.
Yeah, the Olympics are...
So even if you do it off somebody's TV, the fact that we would then be broadcasting would probably get us... Right, could get us in trouble.
I think it would get you in trouble.
Well, you're the one.
No, well, you're the one that agreed to it. So you would definitely get the hammer.
BC would have to push the button. He's the boss.
BC would
Get me.
They would get you. So we're not going to
Buck stops, usually.
But you can find it. It's on Twitter. I mean, the team, I think, Team USA.
It's out there, yeah. It was on primetime, too, last night.
It was on the primetime that everybody hoes around. They wait.
I think you're exactly right. So the way it worked is it was so significant. Everybody's going, as she's running for the, it's not a touchdown, whatever they call it, because the team they were playing missed their extra point. Their what do you call it? What's the extra point in rugby? I don't even know what it is. A provisional.
It's a conversion.
Conversion. So they missed their conversion, and then you tie it up, and then you get the conversion.
See, it's
on
not
your
automatic,
side.
And she missed two in the pregame.
Yeah,
that's her,
but the other side missed hers to tie. To go up that much.
Yeah, and so that's
so the win probability must have been 99.9.
Had to be
99.9, bro.
Had to be.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now. And I mean, it's
it's crazy.
I'm looking at this.
It's the whole field too, essentially.
It's the whole field
going bananas.
I don't know how many yards.
That had to be 80 yards.
Oh, it was a long 80
yard run.
Yeah. If that's a football field, it's 80 yards, right?
Yeah.
And what's crazy about it again, and maybe a rugby, savant can explain this to me, but
we'll have one listening.
Not only is the person who has the ball initially down on the field, they remain down.
See, we won 14-12. That's why I asked about two.
Okay, so a conversion is worth two.
Is it worth two? Okay.
Because the goal is five, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
you told me
they
12-7.
So Australia scored twice, and they missed the conversion.
Missed the conversion.
So that's what it was. Yeah. So they scored twice, missed one of the conversions.
Mm. Poor coverage by Australia on their coverage.
Yeah, like, what are y'all doing?
Why don't they have anybody back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's poor, what I am.
Maybe I'm a football. Maybe I'm watching too much football.
Because once she bust through the first wave, she was gone.
And nobody could catch
her.
My low-budget analysis is, where's the safety? I know it's not a safety in rugby, but like,
you're on. Bro, so this game should have been over.
This is what the Jets did against the Raiders when the Jets were tanking, and Greg Williams played zero.
Yeah, he's on the 5-yard line.
Greg Williams on 4th and 20 with 3 seconds left played zero blitz. Remember, Henry Ruggs beat the secondary and got the touchdown to win it. He walked it off.
I do remember that game. Yeah.
What if a player had come off the sideline and tackled her?
Well, you can't. That.
Oh, do they throw a penalty flag?
No, I think you award the touchdown.
Would you?
I think you have to.
You would give the penalty.
You have to award the touchdown,
penalty flag.
If she's got 30 yards between her and the next opponent.
Have you ever seen that?
No, but I mean, what
has been awarded?
No, I don't.
I'm just saying, when it's over, it's over. You've lost the bronze here.
Yeah, but if somebody
just go out there,
somebody freak out
and try to get the penalty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And reset that thing.
Good call, Jason.
Even if they give them 50-yard penalty or at the spot of, it would be worth it to get another crack at stopping them at the end.
Now, that would break brains. It would.
Like, didn't Mike Tomlin do that one time, like run out there, stick a leg out there?
Yeah, but it was like, it was not.
I mean, it wasn't in these circumstances, but I'm saying it would be worth it. You're going to lose anyway.
So you want somebody to come off the side?
Yes.
I think you get arrested.
I love
it.
Oh, they should be arrested.
I think you get arrested.
No, it's still competition. You're just breaking a rule.
Actually, a Russian sniper shoots you.
Okay, but don't you think, though, if that happened, that they would just award?
Oh, I agree that the way to adjudicate that would be to give you. You would have to, because the USA would have such a stink about it.
Now, what would be interesting is if it was kind of close.
But if there's a chance to get that play reset, even if they do have half the field now that they've gained because of the penalty, you would need to go ahead and do that. Just get dirty with it. That was a heck of a play, though.
Spiff Cedric is her name.
She broke through.
The runner?
Yeah, that's our touchdown score and our kicker.
I actually think Brad made the best point that how are you not in some sort
of prevent
defense where it's not just one wave of players, one wall that she's breaking through.
Dude, the Australia, they're crying literally as she breaks away, right?
Looked like Memphis's secondary last year.
It was definitely comparable for sure. But it was an amazing moment, I have to say. I know it wasn't a gold medal, but I don't think there's anything that happens the rest of the way that will top this.
No.
The drama of this moment and the meaning. I mean, the meaning. Alana Meyer was on the mic in doing the interview after the game, and she was overcome. She was overcome, and she was saying, you know, Alana Meyer was there 4 years ago, right? I mean, women's rugby is not a mainstream sport. If we were talking about college sports, it'd be a non-revenue, right? And it's not something that women necessarily or young girls aspire to do, because we don't have this long-standing tradition of women's rugby in America. We've never meddled.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.